It's good to see everybody connecting because that's what I'm going to be speaking. Andrew and I are going to be speaking about today. I've kind of titled my portion, Called to be Connected. And, you know, God's heart, the neat thing too, just hearing all of the spiritual gifts and the words of encouragement, just always amazes me, especially when I'm about to speak, because oftentimes the Lord is dovetailing the spiritual gifts into a message that's going to be preached. And so grateful the Holy Spirit just moves on people's hearts to share something that really just causes the message to get across clearly. You know, God's heart and plan for us is to be people that connect with one another. You know, He meant for us to live in community. You know, He created us for relationships, and relationships are important to Him. You know, when He created man in the beginning, think back to the garden. You know, He walked with man. He wanted to have that relationship. But there's something he says in Genesis 2:18. He says it's not good for man to be alone. And so He created Eve. And He commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And, you know, I was thinking about just how it all started, how God started this whole thing. And, you know, He didn't want us to be alone. But He used people to form more people. And I was thinking how it expands the opportunities of love to occur, you know, between God and mankind. And it's just kind of neat how He allows us to be a part of what He's doing. And so Andrew and I are going to be speaking about being connected to one another. I'm going to be kind of talking more about how we're connected in families, spiritual, physical families, and he's going to be talking more along the lines of just hospitality and reaching out to the poor and things like that. So, you know, God used families for a purpose in our lives. And, you know, we see God's heart when Jesus' statement in Matthew 22:37-39, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, we see relationships built into the core of what, you know, Jesus was about. You know, we're meant to be loved by God and to love God. You know, I was thinking about how God from eternity past was in a loving relationship in the Trinity. You know, He didn't need man to be created in order to have someone to love. He wasn't incomplete in any way. And yet, how do you improve on perfect love? You know, He expands it by creating people and then pours His love into us. You know, it says we're created in God's image. You know, we're meant to reflect who He is and His character and His, just His personality, His, you know, and Jesus was a reflection of that as well. He gave us another, you know, kind of example to follow after and to love and love like. And so He's given us this desire to be in relationship and to have love with one another. But He's also given us free will to choose to love someone or not to love them. You know, we see that. There's some feedback. Can you maybe turn down on the monitors or something? You know, we see people choosing not to love all around us, you know. Christy mentioned the school shootings. I mean, somebody gets hurt. You know, we live in a world that people don't always grow up with love and acceptance like God desires us to. And, you know, hurt people hurt other people. But But anytime you get hurt, there's a fork in the road. There's a decision that has to be made. You know, am I going to choose the path of forgiveness, or am I going to choose the path, you know, that holds on to bitterness and holds on to that pain? You know, but ultimately, the Lord wants us to get close to Him and to model His character, which is forgiving and loving towards people. You know, some people think of themselves, you know, we think of God as their co-pilot. And but really, if God is your co-pilot, you know what you need to do? Switch seats. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, He wants to be first. And, you know, sometimes what God wants us to be about doesn't always make sense initially. You know, Kirk was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, how being poor in spirit, you know, just doesn't come to mind first on the things that we pray for, but it's God's heart for us. And that was a good message. You know, we get into certain mindsets that we've kind of learned from our growing up or whatever, and we need to kind of unlearn those and allow the Lord to wash those out with the Word of God and replace them with his heart for people and for having the right mind. So let's talk about families. You know, we all started in this world as vulnerable, needy babies. And, you know, our parents loved, they took care of every aspect of our life. Like, there's nothing that we could do to help ourselves at that early stage. And we wouldn't have survived had we been left to ourselves. You know, as we grow as people, we don't just need to be physically cared for. We also need to be emotionally and spiritually cared for. And God had a plan for that. And that plan starts with families. And so Psalm 68:6 says that God sets the lonely in families. He meant for families to enjoy life together, to feel loved and accepted. But you may be saying, well, that's not the kind of family I grew up in. You know, sure, we live in a broken world. You know, brokenness sometimes breeds other brokenness. But Christ offers us a new family. You know, a lot of what was talked about in the spiritual gifts talked about how to be that family, you know, loving others, having a purpose in the body of Christ and reaching out. You know, the new family that Christ offers us is one that should, you know, we can be a part of to serve and to be served and to love and be loved. You know, even if we come from this family, that earthly family that may not have had things all together, He offers us a spiritual family that we could be a part of each other's lives and help each other walk through the difficulties that we run into in this life. You know, I like just the idea of adoption, the way that God has used adoption in people's lives. I mean, it's just such a beautiful example of God putting His heart into people. You know, parents that may not have been able to have kids themselves, and you know, it's choosing that path to love someone and bring them into their family and to become part of their family who God is put on this earth to be loved. So that's, it's just, I love that picture of how adoption works in a loving family. You know, in one sense, we're all adopted that have chosen to follow God, are chosen to, by God, we've been adopted into His family. So let's talk about spiritual families. Let's think about how we live in community and how the first century Christians lived in community. You know, Acts 2 shows that a spiritual family gathered often. They ate together, they worshiped together, they met in house, and corporately. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. It goes on to say that they did life together. They helped each other out. They provided for each other. And it's just a beautiful example. Some even sold property and provided for others in need. And, you know, you could just see God building this community together. And, you know, I picture it like Jesus, you know, when he spent time with his disciples, he was planting seeds into them. And the seeds kind of sprouted and blossomed in what the disciples and the Christians in the early, you know, the first century kind of became in the body of Christ, in the church. You started seeing, you know, in Acts what they became and how they lived. And it was just a beautiful example of God building them into a family. So let's read some verses about the body of Christ. Since we are one body in Christ, it says in Romans 12:5, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You know, we need each other. It's something God has made us for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 22, I'm going to pull out some parts of that. I mean, its context is talking about spiritual gifts, but I think some of these also apply to how we live in the body of Christ. So just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And then verse 18, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so I love what Terry shared, you know, that you know, sometimes, you know, Satan will kind of come against us, but we need to put that down. We need to recognize the value that we have in Christ, in the body of Christ, and to the Lord in this world. It's such a beautiful message that God is giving us, because we get the enemy attacking us with wrong thoughts, and we do have to replace those intentionally with right thoughts. So, you know, I was thinking of how some people currently, you know, serve in the body of Christ. You know, some may clean the church or watch kids in nursery, teach kids in Sunday school and shine. Maybe help. You look for people in the church that need help and you, or need spiritual help, and you encourage them. You spend time with them. You do Bible study. You do small groups. You know, maybe your role is also a prayer warrior. You love to pray. And I love how Greg often tells me how much he prays for me. And I appreciate that. It's such a beautiful thing. I need others' prayers. I need the Lord to work in my heart when I have wrong things in there. And I need the Lord to protect me from the enemy. You know, I need that. And I appreciate it that he does that for me. You know, maybe you make a meal for a family who's going through a surgery or, you know, loss of a loved one. You know, these are important things. And I got to thinking of maybe there's some people in here that are retired. And, you know, some of what I was thinking is that we need the input. You know, the input from you in our lives, like, the Lord has taken you through a walk, a journey, and he's showed you things that really has just planted truths into your heart. And those need to be poured out to the next generation. Like, you know, we need the insight that the Lord has given you. And it helps us to grow. It's one of the ways that the Lord helps us to grow in become all that he wants us to be in a body of Christ. You know, it's just like what Jesus did with his disciples. He poured into them, and we need that. We need your input. So, you know, reach out to those that may be younger in the Lord and, you know, share truths or disciple or mentor, you know, someone else, maybe formally or informally. We need your input. We want a church that connects across generations. You know, I believe that would represent the kind of community that the Lord had in mind for his church. You know, we're all important in the body. We're all important. There's no insignificant part of the body. So let's read Ephesians 4:11 through 15. It says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." You know, I love that analogy of, you know, Christ that he gives as the body, related to the body of Christ, the physical body. You know, our bodies do things for other parts of our bodies. You know, our hands help us to eat, our feet takes us places. You know, if our mind's working right, it tells our butt to get out of bed and to read the Word of God and, you know, pray and love others. You know, we can see the analogy, the body. It's important in the same way as a spiritual family to have that working together. And I do see some of that going on. It's awesome to see that, you know, people reaching out, loving people, connecting. It's needed, you know. And God puts different passions in our lives for a purpose, because there's people that need ministered in that way. So I appreciate how the Lord works in that way. You know, we as leaders, you know, are only part of what God had in the mind for the body of Christ. You know, he puts leaders there for a purpose. We're to be servants, like he showed his disciples, you know, and to teach them to grow in the knowledge of Jesus, to live out our faith, and to help them become mature, like this scripture talks about. And ultimately, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we want the fruits of the Spirit to grow. And so we need, and so that's part of what we're trying to encourage as well, and trying to live that out. But we're not perfect, you know, as leaders. And you know, if there's something that we say or we do that is offensive, we want to deal with it biblically, like Matthew 18, and you know, come to us. We want to talk about it. Because the goal is we want to have unity in the body of Christ. We don't want to let divisions happen that go on and create bigger rifts. We want unity in the body of Christ, and we want to live out this life as Christ desires us to. According to his word, he gives us the roadmap. So maybe you're the type of person that is a one-on-one type of person. Maybe you love to talk to people one-on-one, and it's harder for you maybe in groups. That's okay. God put you in this body for a reason. He needs people like that. In this body, he meant for you to be here. You know, we all need loved. You know, it's something that the Lord has put in all of our hearts. It's something that we long for, but it's also something that he wants us to, when we receive him and we receive and we follow after Jesus, we also need to be loving people, because that's who God is. You know, maybe you like to, you know, you're a person that doesn't tend to reach out, you know, and George mentioned he's more of an introvert, but he makes himself reach out to people and love people. And that's what we have to do, because God doesn't want us just to stay as we are. He's always moving us forward towards being more like Jesus. So we need to pursue him. And maybe you're reaching out to someone who doesn't know the Lord. You know, one of the scriptures that always comes to mind in that is Romans 2:4, where it says, God's kindness leads us towards repentance. So in order to show God's kindness to people, we have to find some way to connect to them. And kindness is a great pathway to get the message of the gospel to people. You know, the best, you know, a lot of people, you know, want to know what's the best vitamin to take to help with different conditions, but you know what the best vitamin is to be a follower of Jesus to take? B1. Yeah, B1s. Sorry, the dad jokes just forced their way out of me, you know. Struggle's real. I get to tell dad jokes to these little kids that my daughter watches, so they're just in there. The truth is that, you know, we're all striving to be better followers of Jesus. You know, he enables us through his Holy Spirit, through his word, through his, you know, just the truth that he gives us revelation of. You know, he gives us what we need to walk it out, to model it to people. And so one of the things that in modeling it to people around you here is to, maybe there's somebody that didn't have a good family growing up. Be a family. Be family to them. Reach out to them in some way. And then the book of Acts 17, this scripture I really like, how it shows about God's design and how he's placed us here. It says in verse 25, "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." You know, God put you here to live in this time, in this place, for a purpose. A purpose to help others find Christ. You know, to love people into the body of Christ and to love people in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. Maybe you find yourself in one of these scenarios in life. You know, you've loved and cared for a loved one, maybe for a long time, that's been sick. Maybe you're a mom or dad who's poured your love into a child and they've gone wayward for a time. You know, maybe you're a child of a parent who's treated you poorly and you've chosen to love them back with the love of Christ in you. Or maybe you've loved a spouse that hasn't loved you back as you would want. You know, I just want to say your love is not wasted. You know, loving others is never wasted. You know, I think Andrew's going to talk about this verse, but, you know, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's what Jesus said. So, and Jesus rewards faithfulness. You know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit that should come out of us when we're following him. And also in 2 Corinthians 4:17, you know, if you find yourself in those situations, know that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That is such such a hopeful verse, and I just love that. You know, this life is a blip in the timeline of eternity. You know, let's not waste it on maybe things that detract from our purpose in loving and serving the Lord, and things that are fruitful in eternity. You know, the Bible talks about laying up treasures in heaven, you know, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. And so that's what we want to do as we love people. So let me read some verses about loving others that I just thought stood out to me. 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Galatians 5:13-14 says, You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You know, as I was reading that book, I was thinking about how sin makes us selfish, but obedience to Christ causes us to shine his love to others. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." You know, I love that, you know, how it talks about loving one another deeply. But, you know, it struck me as I was reading that, just the idea that we can purify ourselves by obeying God's word. You know, we live our life and we get into sin or things that just aren't right, and we just may feel dirty, but there's a way to purify ourselves, and it's by obeying the truth. It's by seeking the Lord and pursuing him and loving others, but obeying God's word. And purity doesn't come just by knowing something. It becomes by walking in it and doing it. You know, I realize that some relationships are very hard. You know, they may have a lot of history of pain, and, you know, so what do you do with those relationships? I mean, you give up on them. You know, I don't think that's God's heart. He doesn't give up on us. You know, according to the Bible, even if someone is you would consider an enemy, Jesus calls us to love them. I mean, as hard as that seems, he calls us to love them. And if he calls us to do it, he enables us to have the ability to do that. You know, it's not easy. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we were his enemies, and yet he loved us. And that could be said about all of us. There, you know, who hasn't given somebody cause for, you know, we've hurt people, and so we need others' forgiveness. And in the same way, we need to also forgive others, because, you know, it's just going to happen when you have people that are, you know, have a sin nature. There's going to be things that come out that need forgiven, and we want to have God's heart. I mean, that's what's going to get us through a difficult relationship. Something that the last 3 years has taught us, I think, is that, you know, the whole world was pushing us towards isolation, but what I've really learned is we desperately need each other. I mean, it was so hard to be apart for the time that, you know, everybody was staying home. And, you know, God's made us for one another. And I think that really highlighted it in my mind. I like this quote by Rick Warren. He wrote the book Purpose Driven Life. He said, "We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves." I love that. You know, so just in closing, you know, God wants us to be in relationships connected to each other. It's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission and the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to be in those relationships. And then secondly, God wants us to encourage and strengthen others, and be connected in fellowship and not forsaking, you know, being in fellowship and staying away from people. Like, he wants us to be connected. So here's some ideas. You know, maybe you haven't joined a small group and you want to join a small group as a way to connect, maybe a mentoring group. Maybe invite a new family or a new person to the church over to your house for dinner and get to know them. You know, there's a lot of things that have come up recently, like Hospice Harvest and LifeWise. You know, great ways to be involved in loving others and loving the next generation, you know, with LifeWise into the kingdom. Shine's another one, loving that next generation into the kingdom of God. You know, I love Hospice Harvest because, you know, it's an opportunity that is helps us to reach out to people that are hurting when they've lost a loved one. And oftentimes they're the most open to hear the gospel or to be encouraged to, maybe they've backslid, to come back to church and just truly reach out to the Lord. I mean, that's, you know, another avenue that we can shine Jesus. You know, these are the type of things that are worthy pursuits. There are things that are worth pouring our life into, you know, the things that God rewards in eternity. We can't take any of the stuff that we gain or earn or store up in this world to heaven. So we all leave this earth and everything behind, but we can help others, love others, and help them reach heaven as well. We can pour our lives out for that. And that will be worthwhile, to see loved ones and friends and people we helped lead to the Lord. That's going to be worth it to see that.